Politically correct militants continue doing what they can to overturn traditional values in society. I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Those with critical thinking skills understand that for the PC police, the politically correct, Islam is completely off limits because it had no part in this country's foundation. They also know that if anyone produced some satire like this about Muhammad, his or her life might be in danger. Literally, it's happened before. And because of this, it has become tantamount that the PC militants do everything they can to tear down the truth and reality of Christianity. Not long ago, we learned that from massresistance.org that a blasphemous play was produced and offered to the community called The Most Fabulous Story Ever Told. An image highlighting the play clearly indicates that at least part of the story is about Adam and Steve. Now, if you consider yourself a Christian and you find yourself smirking at the idea, you may wish to question your commitment to Christ. But of course, you likely believe that he would have found this production to be quite entertaining, that he would laugh at his own expense from a front row seat. Think again. And then maybe you can start by actually reading the Bible as it's written. Save your breath about your erroneous belief that the Bible has changed and been altered throughout the years by unscrupulous scribes who didn't know what they were doing. All of these arguments, such as they are, have nothing to do with the fact of the matter, but simply point out, really, a person's very low view of God himself. Now, with respect to those who believe that the Bible is untrustworthy, that belief is really due to the fact that those folks simply do not accept God to be powerful enough to write a book over the space of 1,600 years using roughly 40 human authors and still have a book that represents his word and his truth. That's on that person, though, not God. God is able, in spite of a person's low opinion of God, and regardless of how they would like to couch their arguments intellectually, quote-unquote. But let's get back to the play, because intermission is almost over. Now, the production in question takes the narrative or narratives from the Bible and gives them a decidedly, quote-unquote, hilarious or satirical look. But probably the worst part of the play is the fact that it was produced in part with taxpayer dollars. Now, there are numerous video clips from the rehearsal of the production. There are also numerous photos of the people who gathered to protest the play. And judging by that, it appears as though folks are fed up with political correctness, and it's about time. There were plenty of silent protests by good people who are very tired of their beliefs being either taken for granted or vilified. The message they had for those who believe it is not only fine but acceptable to attack a Christian's belief is that it needs to stop. Those within the politically correct crowd believe that hate speech should be against the law when it comes to their personal beliefs or their personal lifestyle, when they're on the receiving end of it. And of course, they define what hate speech is for them. Yet it's fine when they use hate speech, in the form of satire in this case, to direct their ire, their hatred, toward Christians, Jesus, and Christianity. The hypocrisy is blatant. Now, there were small groups of gay and lesbians on hand to support the play as well, of course. Certainly they have that right, as much right as those who are against the play. And by the way, the one good thing about this situation is that there were no reported instances of violence. However, the animosity toward those assembled to protest the play was evident. Here's a quote from someone who was there. "Their hate for religion, the Bible, and Christianity in particular was unmistakable. And despite the muted nature of their counter-protest, a few could not hold back. They were there to stick a finger in our eyes," said an individual by the name of Mike Franco. And a few of those people got in people's faces. Franco said that one of them approached a pro-family man with a cap on and berated him for being a hypocrite if the cap had two kinds of material in it. An ignorant reference to passages in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, often quoted by homosexual activists. Now, you know, these types of folks always fail to understand the difference between God's moral code, which applies to all people of this earth, and aspects of the Mosaic Law, which only applied to Israel. In Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 19, we read the following from Paul, quote, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them." Now, here Paul informs us that the truth about God is evident. Why? Well, it's because God has made it evident. People resent Christians, they resent Christianity, and they resent the Bible because of the constant reminders of the fact that God has made his truth clear. They want this truth obliterated from society as a whole. They're tired of the reminders. And the next few verses in Romans are also very telling. Verses 20 and 21, quote, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened," unquote. Paul affirms for us that God's attributes are clearly seen. How? In the very creation of the world. People will not be able to stand before God and say, I had no idea you really existed and created everything. No one told me. He told them through his creation. But look what science, quote-unquote, has done to God's creation. So Paul then tells us that people go from rejecting the clear truth about God to choosing not to acknowledge him, to then choosing to dishonor him, and to finally becoming futile in their speculations. What a terrible downward spiral we see here. The result is that their foolish heart was darkened. Their minds became darkened because of that rejection of truth. It's very, very simple and tragic. They eventually arrive to the point where they cannot see the light of truth at all because their hearts are so darkened by the lies they have willfully embraced. Yet tragically, they see themselves as intelligent, wise, certainly more intelligent than any of those individuals who believe in the antiquated narrative of Scripture. Now, at this point, people have actually become something they were never meant to be. When they get that point where their hearts are darkened, they become intellectual zombies. Notice the way it works. People are born into this world, and God has provided signs all over his creation that point directly back to him. These signs are very obvious, which many choose to deliberately reject. It makes them angry that they are constantly reminded of the fact that God is creator and that he has moral absolutes. They pursue their own belief that God does not exist, that the Bible was written by humans only, that it has no real truth in it, that Jesus either did not live at all or was not who he was made out to be, and so on and so forth. After years of pushing God away, God finally throws them over to themselves. Romans 1, 24 and 25 says, quote, "Therefore God gave them over in the lusts of their heart to impurity, so that their bodies could be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Unquote. You know, these people get to a point where they want so desperately to be free of even thinking that there is a God, as described in the Bible, that God finally gives them their wish. He frees them from what they consider to be the tyranny of knowing that he exists, and then watches them commit spiritual suicide as they turn more inward and become darkened in their thinking until they reach the point of being intellectual zombies with each passing day. These people believe they have arrived and now are above the outmoded and what they would call erroneous beliefs regarding the Bible, Christianity, and Jesus. They see true Christians as being harbingers of hate. What did Jesus say? The world hated him, and it will also hate us. Folks, we have targets on our persons if we are authentic Christians. Why? Because the world, motivated by Satan and his fallen demons, sees Christ in us and hates us because of it. That's the way it is. The politically correct of today believe with all their heart that they must overturn and even eradicate Christianity at all costs. There are plenty of people who call themselves Christians who unfortunately work side by side with these types of people. Why? Because they have no real understanding of what it means to actually be a Christian, even though Jesus took the time to explain it in John 3. And Paul talks about it in Romans 9 and 10. And Peter explained it in Acts chapter 2 and elsewhere in the New Testament. And the parable of the wheat and the tares, it's very clear that tares were sown into the farmer's fields by an enemy. The tares grew up along with the wheat, though the tares were not wheat and never will be wheat. At early stages, though, tares look similar to the authentic product of wheat. It can be difficult to discern the differences. Most people in the world do not understand that there are plenty of people within Christendom who are Christian in name only. As a matter of fact, I believe that there are too many politically correct people who have infiltrated the ranks of Christendom for the very purpose of destroying it from within. The same thing that's happening to this country. They go to church, they read the Bible, often taking it with a grain of salt, if that. They pray, they do things outwardly that to others makes them appear to be Christians. But in reality, it's just simply what they do. 5 or 10 years from now, they could just as easily leave Christianity for Buddhism and still believe that God is within them. I think today's authentic Christian must stand separate from the world. In part, that means being willing to stand up against the politically correct militants of this world, as difficult as that can be at times. Jesus stood up against the politically correct religious leaders of his day. They were politically correct charlatans who held not to authentic biblical teachings, but to newly created traditions that they themselves instituted. The Pharisees came into existence between the Testaments during a time when the temple did not exist, and these sacrificial system had been placed on hold because of it. So the Pharisees created a new system in the absence of the Mosaic sacrificial system. It was all extra-biblical, and Jesus spoke against their political correctness at every turn. He lambasted them because they placed their new traditions above God's absolute truth, giving God's word second place. Now, authentic Christians of today must be willing to stand against political correctness, even if in silent protest. If we don't do this, then how can we say we truly love people? Loving people doesn't mean ignoring bad things in society. Truly loving people means pointing out what is wrong in society and showing the answer as well. Too many people today, Christians among them, believe that loving people means agreeing with them or approving of their choices. That's not biblical. Jesus never did that. Truly loving people means helping others to understand what is keeping them from being in relationship with God. And that's our show for today. I thank you so much for joining me. I hope this series is benefiting you. Political correctness is killing America, and if Christians don't stand against it, who will? Until we meet again next time, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.